And also with you.
In the name of the Father. Oops, I didn't do that yet. Just a minute. I'm confused this morning. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. The Christmas stories that we read from Matthew and Luke, like we read on Christmas Eve, those are the ones that most of us find familiar and, Christmassy. They're all about Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men, the story that we know. But John's Gospel, the Gospel that we just read just now, maybe it seems more like theology and less like a story. We read, "The true light was coming into the world, and the darkness did not overcome it." It's beautiful and it's powerful, but how do we connect it with the human baby Jesus, this small, soft little person that you can hold in your arms, lying in the straw in Bethlehem, with something as unhuman and intangible as light? John creates a really beautiful metaphor, but is he really talking about the same event as Matthew and Luke? How does it connect? But if we read the Christmas story carefully in any version, anybody's gospel, we see that it's all about light. On the night of the child's birth, the night sky over the fields of Bethlehem was filled with the glory, and the word glory means light. The glory of the angelic hosts proclaiming the news. There's a really good Christmas song about the shepherds that goes like this. "They wake up suddenly in the night. There is light and figures dancing in the sky, clothed in more colors than the world can contain." It was the light of the star over Bethlehem that led the Magi from the far east to worship the child who had been born to be king. The scribes that Herod consulted about the star, something maybe like the conjunction of planets that we saw just this past week, scholars who had spent their lives studying the Hebrew scriptures, they recognized the prophecies about the star. They knew that the one who was born to be king had to be born in Bethlehem, and they knew that the star was going to be the sign of his birth. They knew that the prophecies of Isaiah foretold the coming of this child in terms of light. As well, when he wrote, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." The whole story is just bathed in light. So John's take on the story is this, that when a peasant girl gave birth to her firstborn son one night in an overcrowded village in Palestine, a light broke through the darkness of this earth, not theoretically, not metaphorically or philosophically, but in truth, so that from that moment, what had been invisible forever became visible. No human eye from the creation of the first people had ever before seen God. They'd heard his voice. They had seen his angels. Moses had even caught a glimpse of God's glory from behind as God passed by him where he was safely hidden in a cleft in the rock. But on the first Christmas night, God himself became visible to mankind for the very first time, so that we could know him, so that everyone could know him, as no one had ever before known God. Not his rules and his decrees and his purposes only, but himself. John began his first letter to the churches with the same idea. He wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on, which we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made known to us." All those rumors and signs, all those promises and hopes, century upon century upon century, it's all true, John says. We saw it. We saw it with our own eyes. And that's what light is all about. Jesus is the light of the world because he has made the infinite, eternal God visible to us. When we talk about seeing in human terms, we usually say some people can see and some people can't. Those unfortunate people who can't see, we call blind. But the reality is that without light, every human being is blind. Nobody has the power of sight, except as we receive light. Human eyes are only receptors for light. Without light, our eyes can't perceive anything at all. You probably know basically how eyes work. The light enters your eye through the pupil, that little black hole in the center of your eye, and then the light is focused by a lens in the back of your eye, like kind of like a camera lens, and it's focused onto the retina, which is kind of like a little movie screen onto which the image is projected. You still don't see anything until the signal from that image travels through your optic nerve to your brain, where the brain sees what you're looking at. It's a process. But without light, the whole process fails right from the beginning. It's light that makes things visible. Without light, we have no power to see what is really there. When John begins his gospel talking about the coming of the light, he's not talking theoretically, he's not entertaining a philosophical idea, although he is kind of philosophical, but he's talking about something as real and as necessary, something that is as much a part of our daily life as air and water and food. In Missouri, south of St. Louis, where we used to live, there are these caves called Merrimack Caverns. They're a really popular tourist thing, at least in our part of the world, mostly because Jesse and Frank James used to hide there, the outlaws, when the law was searching for them. But they're truly beautiful, and it's wonderful to take a tour. And one part of the tour that is the most striking is that you stop in one of the deepest caverns and the tour guide turns all the lights off, no phones allowed or anything. And it is dark. It's a darkness that you can't find any place else on Earth, pretty much. There's no crevices allowing little bits of light to filter in. There's no man-made lights. There's no reflections of any kind of light at all. And every single person in that room is suddenly totally blind. And that kind of utter and complete darkness, that was the condition of mankind without the light, or that would be the condition of mankind without the light of God. But God never left his people fully in the dark. There were always his prophets, always somebody through whom he spoke so his people wouldn't be completely blind. There were the prophets, there were the signs that he showed of himself in his creation, always those little bits of light. God's people had the law given through Moses. They saw God's power and holiness. They saw man's sinfulness. They could see right from wrong. The law was like a little nightlight, keeping God's people safe in the dark, pointing them towards the dawn that was coming. But with the birth of the child, God revealed who he is in a sudden and completely unexpected blaze of glory, more colors than the world can contain. Have you ever had the experience of meeting somebody that you'd only known in a distant way? Maybe somebody you've only spoken to on the phone, maybe an author you've only known through their writings, but you never really met the person in person. And when you meet them, you find out they're nothing at all like the image that you had created of them in your mind. You thought you knew them, but here stands the real man or woman, and now you see them for who they really are. That's what happened when Jesus came into the world. Everybody in the world had their own images, their own expectations of what God was really like. Basically, that's what an idol is, right? It's a personal, lovingly handcrafted image of who we think God is. But when Jesus came, when the light revealed who God really is, the whole world was in for a big surprise. So much so that a lot of people refused to believe that it really was God, and they chose to stick with the image that was familiar, the image that was comfortable, instead of this unexpected God that showed up poor and humble and as fragile as only a tiny little child can be. Who could ever have imagined that the Almighty God could look like that? With this really strange season that we have been living through, it seems like there are new and shocking revelations almost on a daily basis for us. But there has never, in the whole history of the world, been a more shocking revelation than this, that the creator of the universe showed up in humility, in weakness, in poverty, that he came as a servant. How could that be? That he came not as the greatest, but as the least of all. It's really no wonder that his own people didn't recognize him. The Christmas story is here for us to light our way back to the truth of who God really is, because we are just as fond of making idols as human beings have always been. We get very comfortable with the image of God that we create in the course of our lives. The Jews were looking for a mighty warrior. Basically, they wanted David 2.0, who was going to oust the Roman occupying forces, who was going to turn the clock back to Israel's golden age. Everything would be like it used to be. These days, a lot of Christians seem to be looking for somebody to do much the same thing, to purge this land of corruption and immorality, to return it to the America we think we remember from our childhoods. I think most of us tend to imagine that God is essentially just a bigger and better version of ourselves, that he approves of the things that we approve of, that he condemns the things and the people that we condemn. But then we hear the voice of John, who says, "The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Suddenly the light came on. Suddenly we saw the eternal God of the universe for the very first time. And God was a little child, a brown-skinned Jewish boy from a working-class family, pretty much the last thing anybody would have expected. And he taught us to defeat our enemies not by destroying them and killing them and overpowering them, but by loving them. And he made friends with people in low places, not high places, with tax collectors, with prostitutes, with lepers, with women even, forsooth. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows. We like those pictures of Jesus laughing, but Isaiah tells us he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He wasn't at all the shining knight in armor that everybody was expecting. He was wounded for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we received healing. When God revealed himself to his creation, it was not what we expected. It was in humility. He showed up as the servant of all. And he offered up his own life as a ransom for the whole world. And at the birth of that child, the angelic hosts filled the skies with the light of his glory and with the music of their rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
Let us proclaim our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are Form 6. This is found on page 392. In the Book of Common Prayer. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, and William, our bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation.
Lord God, we pray for our church. We pray for each person that you would be keeping them safe from illness. We pray that you would be bringing comfort to all who are isolated and feeling really the strain of being alone and separated from others. We pray that you would be providing financially for our church in this hard time, and that in all things you would make us a light in our community.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
I thank you, God, for the joy of celebrating Christmas. I thank you for the service on Christmas Eve and just the great blessing of being together with brothers and sisters, and for the blessing above all of your coming to us.
We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
May Almighty God have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of his Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share with all those who are with you the peace of Christ, and my peace to you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. As we prepare for communion, when we would ordinarily bring up our offerings, I'll just give a reminder that giving of our of ourselves in every way, including our finances, is one of the ways that we worship God. It's all our spiritual worship. And so you might consider writing out your check or whatever, make that a part of your worship of God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Amen. We continue on page 361. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit. Be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. As we prepare to take the elements, pray with me this prayer. Gracious Jesus, we believe that you are present in this most holy sacrament. We love you above all things, and we all desire to receive you now. For all those who cannot at this time receive you in the physical elements of bread and wine, I pray that you will come spiritually into their hearts. We embrace you knowing that you are always present with us, and we unite ourselves wholly to you. Never let us be separated from you. Amen.
Amen.
The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Amen.
The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
afraid I might mess it up if I tried to play something that I hadn't prepared for.
Oh, yeah.
That would just make everything worse. Might as well leave well enough alone, right? Arlen, Irene, and Mother Ann was my little congregation this morning. Could you stop? Afraid to try it. Papa says it's terrible.
Wasn't gonna warn him.
Well, he ought to be warned.